Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Saturday, August 10th, 2002. Today's session is titled Labyrinth 101, Why Walk a Labyrinth? It is presented by Eunice Schrader. The number is SCE-2002-01. Let's listen in.
People were asking me when they found out that I knew a lot about labyrinths, they were asking me questions about it. So I said, can we do a session? And they said yes. So here we are. How many of you have walked a labyrinth? Okay, most of you. So why are you here today? What are you looking for if you've already done this?
Pick your brain.
Pick my brain.
Yeah, okay. More information.
Find out more about it.
And culture and everything.
Good, yeah, okay. Because there's lots more to know about it, and it's intriguing, isn't it? If you've walked it, you think, well, where did this come from, and what is it about? And why does Holden have a labyrinth? And what do you do when you walk it? So I just wanted to fill you on some of it. We only have a short time, unfortunately, because some folks want to walk it today before lunch. And in order to do that, I figured that we're going to have to head out of here about 11:20. In order to have time to walk down, is it a mile to the ball field?
Half a mile
to the ball field, half a mile back, obviously. Plus, you want to have plenty of time on the labyrinth. So what I'm going to do is give you about a half hour or less little spiel here this morning. Those that want to walk the labyrinth this morning with me, we can walk and talk some more on the way down there. Mm-hmm. And those that want to walk it at another time, that's fine. You can walk the labyrinth at any time. So it is at the end of the road, what used to be the miner's ball field. And there is a notebook down there with just a brief explanation of how to walk it for those who haven't done it before. So you can tell folks that ask, how do I know what to do? There is a little explanation there. So we're going to just do a real short, I teach this at Marylhurst University for 3 credits. So, you know, a long class. I mean, I've got lots to do. But today we're going to just really get it down to a brief thing. So, some folks want to know, what's the difference between a maze and a labyrinth? So let's start with that, because that's an important concept to kind of have clear. How would you define a maze? Start with that.
A puzzle.
A puzzle?
Dead ends. Wrong turns.
Wrong turns, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
A game?
Okay.
You get lost.
On a maze, you have to make choices, don't you? Because am I going to go to the right or the left? You come to a T or a dead end, and you go, okay, I've got to turn around and go back. But then you have to make another choice. So you're constantly trying to decide which way to go. You can get lost. You could get stuck in a maze, couldn't you? Have you ever walked a corn maze? I haven't. A lot of people think that's a real fun thing to do, walk the corn maze. Okay. The word labyrinth, for some folks, conjures up a maze. And rightfully so, because if you look it up in the dictionary, they're interchangeable. Under maze, you have labyrinth, and under labyrinth, you have maze. Okay, so that's a little confusing. But as we're going to use it in terms of a sacred labyrinth, the labyrinth that's being used for meditation and as a spiritual tool, it's a completely different item. Because the labyrinth, instead of having you get lost, I tell people the labyrinth helps you to find yourself. We'll talk a little more about that. Instead of having wrong turns and dead ends, there's only one path. It does wind around, but you don't have to worry about getting lost or making a wrong turn. There are no wrong turns on a labyrinth. There are turns, But they're not wrong. It's part of the path. It's part of the process. And it's not a puzzle or a game. It's a spiritual tool. So when we say labyrinth, that's what we're talking about. This kind of a labyrinth. So that's important to get clear right away. Labyrinth is called a unicursal. And then sometimes they say the word maze. But unicursal means one path. Okay, so that's an important concept to get clear in your head right away. And I want you to learn how to draw a labyrinth, because I want you to see what a simple, basic thing it is. So that's why you had scratch paper on your chair and something to write with. Did you get something to write with? Okay. Okay, this is kind of fun. The labyrinth is an ancient symbol. Predates Christianity. The earliest labyrinths are found in cave drawings, prehistoric cave drawings. Before language, before words, they were drawing pictures in caves. They were drawing labyrinths. And I'll show you how to do that. In the middle of your page, don't make this real big, but maybe about 2 inches, okay? You're going to do a little box. And the box is going to have three dots, three rows of three dots. So you're going to have 9 dots like that. Okay, not too big. That is the centerpiece of a labyrinth, or at least a small labyrinth. Okay, get that? Okay, the next step is simply to connect the dots and draw a cross, connecting the center dots. So it's kind of nice that there's a cross in the middle of the labyrinth. That's the first draw that you make. The next step is to draw what I call a shepherd's staff. The top right dot to the right top dot. I'm trying to describe this for people who are listening, if this is being taped, who can't see what I'm doing. But you're drawing like a shepherd's staff, the middle dot over to the right top dot. Okay? From then on, it's again connecting the dots. Go to the left top dot, and we're going to circle around to the center right dot and connect them. And you'll see that you're kind of beginning to draw a passageway. Okay? Then go over on the left side of the center dot and do the same thing, keeping equidistant so that that path is continuing to be drawn, and go to the lower right side. Okay, and then there's just one more connect the dots, and that's the bottom left, going all the way around your symbol to the center bottom dot. Now look at what you've drawn and tell me if it matches our description for a labyrinth. Does it have one path?
Yes.
It does, doesn't it? See, there's a little opening right here at the bottom. And if you follow that open pathway, it curves around, it circles around, it goes back and forth, and eventually it comes to a center point. Okay? You have just drawn a three-circuit labyrinth. This is the center. There's 1, 2, 3 circuits. One of the most common labyrinths in the world is the 7 circuit. It's just a tiny bit more complicated than what you just did, and it starts with 5 rows of 5 dots. And we don't have time to do that today, but the 7-circuit labyrinth is one of the most well-known, well-used, identified universally symbols in the world. And I've got 2 small examples for you. And you're just going to take my word for it, but this is found all over the world in all different cultures, all different historic eras, to different civilizations, unconnected. So by that means, it fits the definition of an archetype. It's something that just wells up inside of human beings. It's a universal symbol. I didn't know that when I started studying this, that this is really an important symbol. So here's two examples for you that I just happened to have with me in my suitcase. Just to give you some examples. This is from the Hopi Indians of southwestern United States. This is a symbol that they draw, have drawn for a long, long time, of Mother Earth. This one's a little bit different, but if you look at this one, you'll see that once again, there's a single pathway into the center, and it is a labyrinth. I'll pass that around so you can... Oh, wait, sorry. I wanted to show you the other one, too. Okay, so that's Hopi Indians in North America, but unrelated by time, history, unrelated in any way. Here's the very same symbol in Ireland. We don't know the exact date. This is on a stone, carved on a stone. All we know is that it's probably along a pilgrimage route that they traveled. But we don't know the date on this, but probably early centuries, common era. So I'll pass that around too, and then you can compare.
Is
the
square one a labyrinth?
The square one is not a technical unicursal labyrinth because there's actually two ways of getting in there. But it's very similar. But the other one is. Okay, so that's just two examples of universally understood archetype. I just wanted you to get that sense that this is not something that the Christians invented, but the Christians adapted it and adopted it. In the Middle Ages, in Europe, which interestingly is also where they have the cave drawings of the labyrinth. Okay, so it's really embedded in the culture. So in Europe, Northern Italy, France, especially France, and a little bit in Germany, during the Middle Ages, early Middle Ages, the Gothic Christian churches started to put labyrinths in their nave, in the church proper. They think there were as many as 36 cathedrals, those beautiful big cathedrals that you've seen, that have these right in the floor. So the Christians, and we don't know exactly how they used these, that's what's so frustrating, but the Christians adopted this ancient symbol, a symbol that somehow for people everywhere is the path of life. It's about entering the journey. It's about beginning, being born, traveling, living, aiming for the center, going for the goal, birth, death, rebirth. It's that kind of a circular, cyclical symbol. Okay? So the Christians said, well, that's a good symbol. We can use that as the Christian life. That's an idea of the Christian life. Julie drew us this image of the labyrinth that's in France. Chartres, France, in the Gothic cathedral there, has this labyrinth embedded in stone, huge stones sunk down into the floor with this pattern. And this is the pattern that is at the ball field, this same pattern. But I wanted you to see what it looks like in the church in France. So here's the picture.
But this one here is different in that the center is really just a circle. It's not a
That's
focus.
Correct. They haven't... Oh, let me walk through and then I'll pass it so everybody gets a quick look. It'll come back. But isn't that stunning? Mm-hmm. It's right as you enter.
It's tile.
It's stone.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy, heavy stone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking like this. Right as you enter the church, here's the labyrinth. The labyrinth is between you and the altar. You have to traverse, well, in a sense, you have to. You walk over it too. But it's like, okay, you're almost like being initiated into the church or into the Christian faith. We don't know how they used it. They think it might have been a penance thing, or it might have been just a symbol of the journey, the pilgrimage. This was during the Crusades, and these were churches that were pilgrimage destinations. Pilgrimage was big then, to take time out of your life, months, years, to go on a holy, sacred pilgrimage. Usually it was to the Holy Land, but during the Crusades that wasn't very safe. So here were these little mini pilgrimages in the church. We think it might have been kind of a symbolic journey for them.
But its use is not documented anywhere in Christianity.
Written about, you mean? No.
Isn't that interesting?
There's just a little bit that we found in church archives why they started ripping them out. About the time of the Reformation, when they started thinking, we need to get back to the Word, Luther. We need to get back to the Word. These images, these rituals from the past, these things that we're doing that are not clearly Bible-centered or Christian, we need to get rid of those. And they started tearing them out.
Could there be any sort of links like in the Catholic tradition, where you have like the Stations of the Cross, and you have the rosary,
right,
where you do remembrance,
right,
and so you have steps and stages where you do meditation.
It could have been that kind of a thing.
Because that's still full of it.
Exactly. And people like to do that. That seems to be very helpful. So yeah, it could have been that kind of a thing. That's all I'm going to say about Middle Ages right now, because I want to zip forward to today. Today, labyrinths are popping up all over the place. Even some of you have talked about churches that you've been, retreat centers that you've been to, that they had a labyrinth. But they're even putting them in hospitals now and schools, because they discovered that when people walk a labyrinth, and some of them aren't as fancy as this one, they're simpler, but it's still a labyrinth. It's still that single pathway. Well, you tell me, why do you walk a labyrinth, those of you that do? What is it that you get from it? What is it, why do you do it?
Meditation.
Meditation?
It's peaceful.
Peaceful?
Mm-hmm. Centering.
Centering, good. We talk about being grounded and being centered. This is a physical way of doing that, isn't it?
I guess it's all of those things, and it puts you in a listening mode.
Good. I like that. Puts you in a listening mode. We're so busy doing, aren't we? The labyrinth gives you space to just be. Because all you can do is just follow the path. If you look up, now Holden, this is really hard, because you're going, wow, look at the mountains and look at the forest, but then you lose your place. So you kind of have to keep looking down. You can stop anytime, obviously, and enjoy the scenery and praise God for it. But because you have to kind of keep your eye on the path, because it's not very wide and it does turn a lot, there's a lot of U-turns on the labyrinth. Just like life. This is a metaphor for your life. And I don't know about you, but that happened to me a lot. Where you thought you were going.
But it's a path you can trust.
Yes, that's the beauty of it. Even though it's winding around and acting crazy, this is a crazy path. And it's not like it all goes in one quadrant or that it's a spiral. It's all over the place. You never know where you're going to go next. Yet, you know, you trust it's going to get me to the center. And it does. And it's the same pathway back out again. Trust is a wonderful thing that the labyrinth has taught me and teaches a lot of people. Trust, faith. So, I put some stuff on the board. This is a wonderful website. Grace Cathedral, San Francisco, is the home of Veritas, the Worldwide Labyrinth Project. And Lauren Archer started it. She is an Episcopal priest and a therapist. And she rediscovered the labyrinth. You see what I'm saying? It's not new. This is not new age or something. It's an ancient symbol that's kind of being resurrected now. But she wrote a wonderful book called Walking a Sacred Path. It's in the Holden Bookstore. I highly recommend it. I've read all the labyrinth books, well, almost. And hers is the best. And then if you go to this website, there's all kinds of fun things, like a labyrinth locator. You can punch in the city or the state or wherever you want to travel, and they'll tell you if there's any labyrinths in that area. It's not complete, but it'll, you know, give you some ideas. And I'm listed in there because I have a canvas labyrinth that I take with me, so my name is in there. And there's also a virtual labyrinth, which you can walk with your mouse. Labyrinth pattern on the screen, and with your mouse you can trace the labyrinth. So, a virtual labyrinth. So.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, we
okay,
need to have questions.
How big is your canvas?
36 feet.
Oh.
Which is smaller than Holden's.
So it's pretty heavy.
103 pounds.
Three pieces.
It's three pieces. It's Velcroed together, and I have two giant rolling duffel bags that I put it in, and I drag them. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
But you can also buy from Veriditas wooden labyrinths, and you can walk it with your fingers.
It's carved out on
just almost as good.
It's about this big.
Really?
If I didn't know I was going to be doing a session up here, or I would have brought mine. But yeah, that's fun too. And you can buy them on that website. They're not cheap, but they're beautiful.
If you know any woodworkers that want to make some money, they could do that.
Yeah, people love these. What other questions do you have? That was a really fast overview. But what other questions do you have? Anything? Past, present, future?
Well, is there any significance of the rose design?
Yes. Holden, you know, I wasn't the one who put in this labyrinth down here, but whoever did decided to keep it simple and just do a circle. But in Chartres, mm-hmm. if you look at that picture, was it show on there?
Yeah.
Yes.
There is a wonderful rose symbol, six petals. Traditionally, in the Christian church, this is a symbol for the Holy Spirit, which is perfect. But in the Catholic tradition, it's a symbol for Mary. And the Cathedral of Notre Dame, which is where this is found, is dedicated to Mary. And so there's lots of roses in the windows, the stained glass windows, and in fact, there's one right above the labyrinth. I've been to this labyrinth. And there's a rose window right above it, and if you put a hinge on the floor, the rose window would go right down on the labyrinth there. So it's just beautifully matched. There's a lot of sacred geometry, they call it, in that cathedral. Obviously, the labyrinth is part of that. We don't even know. It's just a mystery. This is what I love about the labyrinth. We don't really know how they came up with this and why it's so powerful. People are walking this today. They come off the labyrinth and they say to me, whoa, what was that about? You know, and they need to go journal. And they need to talk to somebody about it or pray about it or meditate. It's very powerful. What's that about? You know, we don't really know. It's a wonderful thing because it's a mystery. That's how I look at it, is that I like it even better because I don't totally understand it. Kind of like God.
Is that rose window at a particular season and time of day shine on that?
I don't think so. I don't think that the angle's quite right. That would have been nice, wouldn't it? I don't think so. But there's other stuff that goes on with the windows and the angle stuff that they're going, oh, that's why they built it just how they did.
Okay.
Yeah. Other questions?
Are you going to talk about
how to walk it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that for those who haven't. There's no right or wrong way to walk a labyrinth. Like I said, there's no rule book that came with this, you know? It's just kind of like, oh, let's try it. So, but I can tell you what people have said is really helpful to them and how they really, it really resonates for them when they do it this way. And that is simply to have it as like a body prayer. So as they're walking into the labyrinth, and you'll know where the entrance is, it's pretty clearly marked down here. But where you enter the labyrinth, pause for a moment and think of it as a time of prayer. And you could even look to the center and put in the center your intention for that walk. Are you looking to get closer to God? Are you looking for an answer to a question in your life that you're struggling with right now? Something that you're just going, what about that? What about that? Put that in the center and leave it there. And then walk towards it. But as you're walking towards it, let go of it. I don't recommend thinking hard about stuff while you're walking the labyrinth. I recommend clearing your mind. In fact, the walk in can be letting go, releasing, setting down the baggage that we carry with us every day, of guilt and regret and, you know, what ifs and all that. Let go of that and just enjoy it. And just go for a walk where you can really let yourself just be who you are. And again, it's a metaphor for life. So sometimes people like to walk it and think, how's this like my life? How's this like my life with all those turns? And you can think of things in your life that felt like wrong turns, mistakes, this can't really be happening. Those are the turns. But what if this is the backside of a beautiful weaving? Even though it seems crazy, what if this is your life? And even though all those seemed like wrong turns, when you turn it over, it's a beautiful picture. That's another way to think about it. The center of the labyrinth symbolizes the divine. It's a wonderful goal. It's a wonderful place. After you've been wandering through the desert for 40 years, which is what it feels like, you're just going, oh, I'm never going to get there. But you finally do. That's a place to rest. That's a place to connect with the divine in whatever way works for you, if that's prayer, meditation, or just being, just resting. Think of it as a spiritual watering hole. If this is the desert, that's a spiritual watering hole. So just enjoy your time there, and you can rest there as long as you want. Then when you feel ready, you're going to take the very same path back out again. There's not a two-way street. So you will be having people passing you on the path. Or if you're walking really slow and someone else is walking fast, they may pass you from behind. That's fine. Just let it be. Let it be. This is like life. So coming out again, if it was all a big prayer, you're releasing on the way in, getting rid of the crap out of your life, and then you're connecting with the divine. The walk out is preparing yourself for the rest of the journey, for the rest of your life, for integrating and putting into practice what you've gained, and you will gain. For me, this is a real energizing place. It's like my batteries are getting recharged, and so then I can walk out with the feeling of, I can do it. I can do it. I'm going to be okay. God's with me, or whatever you need to feel energized and safe and prepared for what lies ahead in your life. Other questions? Otherwise, we're going to have to get going.
I'd like to have a chair or a kneeler or something.
At the middle.
Yeah.
There's a rock there.
Yeah, because you start... mine is like popcorn as you start walking through and just help clear and then stay there for a while. Mm-hmm. But it takes that long to come out too.
I should say, the Holden Labyrinth is larger than most, and so it takes longer. But we figured half an hour in and out. I mean, total. This is walking at a normal pace. And some people really want to walk it slower, but it's going to take you longer if you do it that way.
Does it have a name, like 7 Circuit or something?
The one out there is an 11 circuit.
11
circuit. Mm-hmm. Interesting number. Yeah. Good question.
And yeah. You don't have to walk it right now.
You don't have to walk it right now if you don't want to. But some people said that they would like to walk it right now, so we will. Oh, I know. For those that are interested, this is my brochure. I call myself Sacred Journey Ministries, and I work out of the Portland area. But this tells a little bit more about what I do. And if you wanted to contact me, I have my email address and phone number and stuff. You're welcome to take that. And this is my newsletter, all the labyrinth walks I'm doing in the Portland area, including
some workshops and classes and just what we call open labyrinth walks, where people can just come and walk it without any kind of introduction. So it's kind of fun to see what's happening with labyrinths out there. So these are free for you to take. Okay?
The labyrinth is a great deal of areas.
Yes. One outside and one inside at Grace Cathedral Center. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you